Charles Paris Mystery, An Amateur Corpse, written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. Episode 3.
Are you the person who called for the ambulance?
Yes, I'm the one who found her. I managed to pull her out, but...
Okay, sir, if you could just show us where she is.
Okay.
Soaking, freezing, still in shock, I led the paramedics through Hugo's expensive house and into the expansive garden. The optimist in me hoped to find Ellie alive, well, and wrapped in a bathrobe. In reality, she sprawled lifeless where I'd fished her out of the pool. While the paramedics attended to the body, I attended to Hugo.
The police will be here any minute.
What have I done, Charles?
Well, how do you mean?
I'm bad news. Ellie should never have married me. Ginny should never have married me. I've ruined every relationship I've ever had.
You're in shock.
Oh, I'm toxic to women.
Ellie loved you.
She was wasted on me.
I've got to get dry, Hugo. I'm freezing to death. Not death, sorry.
She's so young.
Would you be okay for a minute while I find a towel?
Oh, so beautiful.
I might need to borrow some dry clothes, too.
Hurrying upstairs, I peeled off my wet clothes, peered into a laundry basket, and requisitioned one of Hugo's inappropriately youthful hoodies and a weird pair of jeans. I was fighting with the latter when my phone rang.
Bad timing, Francis.
Are you being chased by angry actors brandishing pitchforks?
I'm trying to get into someone's trousers.
Your night must have gone better than expected.
Trust me, it really didn't.
Didn't the Amdrammers appreciate your critique?
I'd been coerced to give my thoughts on an amateur production of Marat Sade. And although the cast hadn't actually driven me out of town with flaming torches, Francis wasn't far off the mark.
I don't understand these trousers.
Do trousers need to be understood?
They don't fit in any one place. How can they be hanging off my waist and clinging to my calves? I look like I'm auditioning for Aladdin.
They sound like carrot tops.
Whatever they are, they're bloody uncomfortable.
Whose are they?
Hugo's.
Why are you putting on Hugo's trousers?
Mine got wet while I was pulling his wife out of the outdoor pool, and before you ask, I wasn't drunk.
He thinks he protests too much.
Believe me, after the evening I've just had, I wish I was drunk.
You haven't been playing Scrabble with Joan.
No, but I've found Hugo's wife drowned in their pool.
What?
Yeah, hence the wet clothes.
That's horrible.
I saw something underneath the pool cover when I stopped for a cigarette.
Oh, Charles.
Hey, I'm practically off the sauce. Don't beat me up over a single fag.
That was a sympathy O, not a judgmental O.
Oh, well, thanks. I think that's the police. Listen, I see a long night ahead, so I wouldn't wait up.
Mr. Paris, sorry to keep you waiting.
How's Hugo?
In shock, understandably.
Yeah.
What time did you get here this evening?
I ran through the main events. I could have skipped the fact that my mother was staying with me and Francis, but in an attempt to prove myself innocent of any wrongdoing, my nerves ran away with me.
Because she fell off a chair. Like I said to my wife, Joan's not getting any younger, so why shouldn't she?
If we could get back to the events of this evening.
Oh, of course, sorry.
You say you and Mr. Menkin are old friends.
We hadn't seen each other for ages till recently.
But you'd say you know him well.
We were students together back in the 70s. Mm. We toured in Mr. MacGuffin's Alchemical Roadshow. You're too young to remember. It was a pretty hardcore, radical company.
I'm more of a Lloyd Webber man.
Ah.
So you and Mr. Menkin go back a way?
Yeah, I remember his first wedding.
What happened to that marriage?
Divorce.
Do you know why?
Well, who can say what goes on in other people's marriages?
It was meant as a perfectly innocent truism, but the detective gave me the gimlet eye, waiting for more.
All Hugo told me was that he'd had some kind of midlife cliché. He and Ginny had been together years, then the kids grew up. He met Ellie, she was young. He was flattered, you know the story.
Do you happen to know if he had a lot of extramarital relationships?
I couldn't say.
And since you got back together, has he said anything about his marriage?
Not much. I mean, I think he was a bit frustrated the amount of time she spent with her drama group.
Frustrated?
She was out a lot at rehearsals and stuff.
So you think he felt neglected?
Well, Ellie's acting career hadn't taken off, so she joined a local group to sort of keep a hand in. And Hugo started out as an actor, so he knows what it's like.
What is it like?
Acting. Well, mainly quiet, with periods of intense activity followed by complete silence.
Do you think Mr. Menken suspected his wife was having a relationship within this drama group?
All I had to do was keep it simple and say no.
No. I mean, she was a striking-looking woman. She was bound to attract male attention.
I seem to have developed Tourette's. I just wanted to tell the truth, but I couldn't open my mouth without throwing a shadow of suspicion.
Does Mr. Menken have much of a temper?
We all have our moments.
What sort of moments does he have?
In the past few days, Hugo had smashed a bottle against a wall and taken a swing at me. The last outburst had also been witnessed by a bar full of amateur actors.
He may be a little volatile.
One more thing. Does Mr. Menken have a drink problem?
Yes, he does.
Well, what else could I say? It didn't take police training to smell the alcohol on Hugo's breath.
Thank you, Mr. Paris. If you could give your contact details to WPC Marsh in case we need to be in touch.
Right.
Everyone was asleep by the time I got home, and dog-tired, I crawled onto my bed, still wearing Hugo's cast-me-offs.
Morning.
What time is it?
Nearly 8.
Which one?
A.M.
Ah.
I thought you might like a coffee.
Oh, what's wrong?
I just thought you'd appreciate the gesture after last night.
Oh, sorry. I do. Cheers.
The story's made the Southeast News.
Oh, poor Hugo.
You should also know...
What?
They've arrested him.
No!
They're making it sound like he's the main suspect.
Oh.
What's the phrase they use? The police are not pursuing any other lines of inquiry.
Oh, what have I done?
What have you done?
It's my fault.
Ellie's drowning?
Hugo's arrest.
What's it got to do with you?
I had to give a statement, but whatever I said came out wrong.
I'm sure you're imagining it.
I'm really not, Francis. Every time I spoke, I dug Hugo deeper into a hole. What am I going to do?
What can you do?
Well, I can't let an innocent man go to prison.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down and rewind. You don't know that he'd be found guilty.
If they're not looking for anyone else...
I know Hugo's a friend, but do you know he's innocent?
You're not serious.
I'm just saying...
Don't be ridiculous.
They say anyone's capable of murder given the right circumstances.
Don't look at me like that. Hello?
Are you decent?
That's a leading question.
Oh, you're in there too, Francis. I don't want to interrupt anything.
Just come in, Mum.
Not if you're having a rapprochement.
Our rapprochement days are long over, aren't they, Charles?
I feel uncomfortable with this conversation.
Why are you dressed like a teenage skateboarder?
Are those the clothes you came home in?
Oh, I don't think you're right for a hoodie and carrot tops.
What do you know about carrot tops?
I keep up with current trends, and let me tell you, this one's not for you.
I'll bear it in mind.
Try growing old with dignity, Charles.
Was there something you wanted?
My leg feels a lot better, so I think it's time I pulled my weight.
Well, you mustn't overdo it.
No, we don't want any setbacks now you're on the mend.
I'm so bored stuck indoors. You'd be doing me a favour.
What do you want to do?
How about I make dinner tonight?
You don't have to get adventurous.
Charles doesn't trust my cooking.
It's not that.
Thanks, Joan. That would be lovely.
Good. So, straight home after school and no skateboarding with your crew.
Oh, what did you say about anyone being capable of murder?
I hadn't spoken to Morris since his hissy fit about my voice agent. I also hadn't had a drink for 24 hours, and I couldn't face one without the other.
There you go, Charles. One extra large double.
Cheers. As my new voice agent was now on a murder charge, I took it upon myself to be the adult and call Morris.
Charles! Good of you to find the time in your busy schedule to call your agent of several decades standing.
I wanted to clear the air.
The air's perfectly fresh in W1. Is there a sulphurous whiff of perfidy in N6?
My conscience is spotless.
Well, that's what counts.
I don't know why you're being so prickly.
There's nothing prickly about me.
Can I point out that practically every actor I know has separate representation for voice work?
Even when their acting agent runs his own voice agency?
Which you never told me about.
Because you never asked.
I shouldn't have to ask.
Perhaps if you showed more interest in the agency...
I give you 10% plus VAT. I didn't realise I had to follow you on the FTSE 100.
Oh, no.
Now you're just being childish.
I'm not the childish one.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
You are.
I'm not.
Are.
You're the one who expects me to do everything for you.
Something would be nice once in a while.
If this is your idea of clearing the air...
OK, let's just draw a line under the whole thing.
Let's.
Good.
Right.
Fine.
So,
is there much happening?
Work?
In quantum mechanics? Yes, work.
Well, that depends.
On what?
The client.
Let me rephrase. Is there much happening for this client?
Surely you're too busy with your burgeoning voice career.
Okay, Morris, you've made your point. Forget work. Is there any juicy gossip?
Well, even that's gone quiet in the recession.
You think people have stopped having illicit sex?
It's not called a downswing for nothing. Oh, there's the Hugo Menken case. You knew him, didn't you?
Don't recall.
You were both in that anarcho-syndicalist science fiction touring company.
No, I don't
think... Mr. McGuffin's Alchemical Roadshow.
You know what they say. If you remember the 70s, you weren't there.
Oh, I remember it only too well. How could I forget Charles Parry's naked, apart from German expressionist body paint?
I was young and needed the money.
No one got paid.
It was worth it for the makeup girl.
You do remember it. Once he embraced free market capitalism, Hugo did very nicely for himself.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Cashed in his ideological chips, set up a voiceover company and made a heap.
Really?
And now he's facing a murder charge.
Oh, terrible.
I thought you'd show a bit more interest in your old friend.
Well, I haven't seen him in a long time.
Oh, yes, it must be, what, a few days since you did that test for the Sport and Dry commercial? Are you there, Charles? You've gone very quiet.
You've been playing me.
Aren't I wicked? Know this about me. Nothing gets past Morris. Enjoy your whiskey.
At a loose end and feeling guilty that I'd fueled the flames of suspicion against Hugo, I looked up the time of his hearing and made my way over to Wimbledon Magistrates Court. I was early enough to catch the support act. From the public gallery, I stared down at a scowling ne'er-do-well with the classic features of fetal alcohol poisoning, a crookshank illustration of low-life made flesh. And that was just the magistrate. Eventually, Hugo was led up from the cells. Suited and booted, he looked hunched, exhausted, and bewildered.
Are you Mr. Hugo Menken of Elmview, the Avenue, Surrey?
Yes.
Could you speak up, please?
Yes.
The hearing only took a few minutes from beginning to end, and the magistrate decided that the accused should be held on remand.
It was so depressing.
Where's he being held?
Wormwood Scrubs, but I think remand prisoners can get moved around. What's she making out there?
Since I got in, I haven't been allowed in the kitchen.
Oh.
Buggeration.
I'd better go.
Leave her to it. She wants to do her bit.
Oh, she could join the territorial army.
She's bored out of her mind.
That's no reason to risk life and limb. When my mother gets experimental, you don't know what you're going to get.
Hypocrite.
What?
Mediterranean fish cakes.
Mmm. Mm. Smells good.
I got the recipe and ingredients from that gorgeous boy at your Italian deli.
The boy must be 50 if he's a day.
He's very charming.
He can certainly charm the cash out of your wallet.
It's my money.
Yes, don't be so ungrateful.
Sorry.
Aha! The plates are hot.
Yeah. Well, I must say, they look great.
Mm. Good. Well, tuck in.
My tongue won't work.
My lips are shriveling.
Oh, add some more water, Jen.
My mouth seems to be contracting.
Mine's turning inside out.
Everyone, keep drinking.
Oh, you know you're supposed to soak salt cod overnight.
He said rinse it.
Yeah, about 100 times.
It's not Joan's fault.
Well, thank you, Francis.
I wonder what this will do to my hypertension.
I can literally feel my blood pressure rising, and only some of that's due to the salt.
Well, I'll do something simpler tomorrow night.
Okay.
If you'll excuse me, I'm going to stand in the shower with my mouth open.
My taste buds were still traumatised the next day, as a prison warder searched me for drugs and weapons before ushering me through several sets of forbidding security gates.
Yeah, thanks for coming, Charles.
How are you doing?
Yeah, could murder a drink.
Afraid I can't help you there.
No.
Apart from that?
You know, not too bad.
Really?
Actually, I'm scared witless. Last night they put me on suicide watch.
Why?
I suppose if a man's unstable enough to kill his wife...
But you didn't. Hugo?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know, Charles.
Keep it down or they'll chuck me out.
Look, you saw how far gone I was the other night. I was drunk enough to take a swing at you.
But to kill someone, and not just someone, but Ellie.
I don't know. I don't know anything anymore.
When I left the bar, you could barely stand up.
You remember more than I do.
But you remember Ellie coming to pick you up?
Just about. I got little flashback fragments. She was pretty damn annoyed when she put me in the car. I think we had a row on the way home.
About what?
About what an arse I was. I probably said some pretty horrible stuff too, but don't ask me what.
And when you got home?
More shouting, more fighting.
Fighting?
Yeah, figuratively speaking.
Did you touch her?
I don't know.
Did you touch her, Hugh?
I don't know.
Well, think.
Maybe a push.
What the hell does that mean?
Look, my memory may be screwed, but one thing I know, I don't hit women. Of course, that doesn't mean I didn't kill Ellie.
Is that what you told the police?
Oh, they came to their own conclusion.
I'm trying to help you.
That's nice of you. And look, don't take this the wrong way, but you're an actor, not a lawyer.
I'd still like to help, if you'll let me.
I was drunk when Ellie picked me up. We rowed, she stormed out of the room. I carried on drinking.
Stormed out where?
Well, I fell asleep in an armchair, so as far as I know, she could have gone to bed or... driven off to see her lover.
What lover? Was she having an affair?
I don't know.
Well, was she or wasn't she?
I never caught her in flagrante, but... Well, you know the signs. Whispered phone calls and quickly hanging up when I walked in, going out to meet a friend.
Any particular friend?
There would have been no shortage of applicants.
At the drama group?
You saw the way they all sniffed around her.
I'd seen cocksure Clive trying his luck, but Ellie gave him the brush off in no uncertain terms. On the other hand, Clive might not be good at taking no for an answer.
Did she have any close friends she might have confided in?
Since we moved out to the suburbs, she'd lost touch with most of them. No, there was this ditzy friend she'd been at drama school with.
Name?
Holly? Holly Radford. She didn't approve of me, so they used to meet up for the odd girls' night out. I suppose if Ellie was going to confide in anyone, it probably would be Holly.
At the end of the allocated hour, I left Hugo with a name in my pocket, a sinking feeling in my stomach, and a need to hit the Drummond Monkey.
Extra large double scotch, please.
Good timing, Francis. I need to bounce some things off you.
I've had better chat-ups.
Please. I've been to see Hugo.
Can it wait till you get home?
Are you all right? You sound frazzled.
We need to talk about Joan.
Oh. I found Francis in the kitchen punching poultry.
You do know that bird's already dead.
I'm spatchcocking.
Right. What's the music?
Thelonious Monk. Your mother's been playing the entire canon while she does the ironing.
I'll ask her to turn it down.
It's not the music.
Oh, well, then why are you going 15 rounds with a chicken?
It's great that Joan's on the mend and wants to help, but she's helping me to an early grave.
What's she done now?
Cross the line.
What line?
The underwear line.
I didn't know there was an underwear line.
Believe me, there is, and your mother's crossed it. I got in from school to discover my knickers had been ironed.
Uh-oh.
It's bad enough that she handled them. Worse, it's the implicit criticism that I should iron my pants. She's completely violated the code.
There's a code as well as a line.
The mother-in-law, daughter-in-law code.
What do you want me to do?
Keep her occupied, preferably out of the house.
Is that you, Charles?
Hello.
I was ironing your carrot tops.
Not my carrot.
And I found these keys in the pocket.
Oh.
They must have gone through the wash. You should always check before you put things in the laundry.
I didn't put them in the laundry. They were in my room.
See what I mean?
Anyway, they're not my keys, Francis.
No.
They must be Hugo's.
Sure you wouldn't like some help, Francis?
No. Thank you.
Come on, Mum. We'll, let's leave her to it.
By the time we ate, Francis's chicken was not so much tenderised as carpaccio. Sensing the atmosphere, Joan turned in by 9. Early on Saturday morning, I left a message on Holly Radford's voicemail that I was a friend of Ellie's and would like to meet for a chat. Then, I had a brainwave.
I've had an idea.
Am I going to like it?
It's a way of killing two birds with one stone.
Go on.
If I could borrow your car, I could take Joan out for a few hours.
That's one bird.
And return Hugo's clothes.
When you say return, you don't mean post them through the letterbox, do you?
Well, as I've got his keys, I could let myself in.
And get arrested for trespass. Better still, trespass in the house of a murder inquiry.
How much trouble can I get into if Joan's with me? Frances must have really wanted some me time because she lent me her annoying little electric car on the proviso that one sniff of trouble and she'd deny all knowledge.
Are we following a funeral cortege?
When did you become a speed freak?
I'd just like to get there while I'm still alive. Where are we going anyway?
Oh, I thought you might fancy a drive.
Taking your old mum for a spin?
Something like that.
Why do people always assume pensioners love nothing more than aimlessly driving around?
It's not aimless. I want to drop Hugo's clothes back.
I thought he was banged up.
Have you been watching reruns of The Sweeney?
In Chokey, then.
Now you sound like a character in Woodhouse. Mm.
Hugo's the one who slept on my sofa about 40 years ago.
That's right.
I remember. He was a bit of a boy even then.
How do you mean?
Right, little Casanova, flirting with me.
So it's true?
Oh, he remembered, did he?
He said how glamorous you were.
Bless him.
Bless him?
What else did he say?
That he had a bit of a crush on you.
Well, I was in pretty good shape, if I say so myself.
And still married to Dad?
Don't worry, Charles, nothing happened. Just a bit of fun.
Sometimes I don't think I know you at all.
So much for the great bohemian.
What does that mean?
You're just a petty bourgeois at heart. How about some music?
I did a slow drive-by to get the lay of the land and see if there was a police presence. But the house looked quiet, so I parked 50 yards up the road.
Nice place.
Hugo's made a fortune since the old days. Right, you wait here.
Can't I have a nose around?
No.
You're no fun.
Is your phone switched on?
No.
Why have a phone if it's permanently off?
Happy.
Okay. If anyone approaches the house, ring me. The detached house was surrounded by trees, but I couldn't help feeling the entire neighbourhood watching me as I unlocked the front door. Looking for somewhere to put Hugo's clothes, I discovered all his stuff was in a spare room. Another semi-detached marriage. The master bedroom was definitely Ellie's domain, but there was a melancholia about personal trinkets without a person. By the bed, the latest Zadie Smith and an untouched Booker nominee. Nothing you couldn't hum there. An A to Z of family health told me nothing till it fell open at P. Was Ellie pregnant? Or thinking about getting pregnant? Not with Hugo, surely. In amongst a lot of paste jewellery, I found an old rosary, which, unless it was religious chic, suggested Ellie was or had been a Catholic. I didn't know what I was looking for or expecting to find, so went into the ensuite. The usual bottles, pots and jars.
Oh, damn.
The bottle I knocked off a shelf spilt its perfumed contents all over the floor. I was hurriedly mopping it up with loo paper when...
Oh. Okay, Mum, I'm coming.
You better had, because the police have just pulled over in front of the car.
What?
Second thoughts, stay where you are. I'll buy you some time.
What do you mean? No, Mum, don't buy me time. Don't buy me anything.
I tore downstairs, let myself out of the house and sneaked out of the drive. A policeman was leaning into the open passenger door of the car.
Have you got any pain, love?
Mum, what happened?
Tell him I don't need an ambulance.
The lady seemed to be having some sort of fit.
It's just one of my turns. He knows all about them, don't you, Charles?
Yes. She gets them from time to time. They look worse than they are.
Okay, if you're sure.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, you've been very kind, but I'll just get her home.
Okay, sir. Well, you know where we are.
Yeah. Come on, Mum. Let's get you back.
That was fun. Right. I just saved your skin, so the least you can do is buy me a drink and a spot of lunch.
But a phone call from Ellie's friend Holly put lunch on a back burner. I dropped Mum home and went straight back out.
We'll have to keep it quick. I've got a show tonight.
Don't worry, I'm an actor too.
Is that how you knew Ellie? Oh, I can't believe I'm talking about her in the past tense.
Actually, I'm really a friend of Hugo's.
I see.
Yeah, he said you weren't his biggest fan.
Then he's more perceptive than I gave him credit for.
I understand why you might have taken against him.
Let's get it straight. I thought Hugo was bad for Ellie, and it looks like I was right.
You think he killed her?
What I think's irrelevant. It's what the police think that counts.
Well, they do get things wrong.
What do you want, Charles?
A picture of their marriage.
She was young, beautiful and talented. He was old, resentful and controlling. That pretty much sums it up.
How did he control her?
Apart from moving her into a pretentious house in that stifling suburb and suffocating her career at birth.
Well, she went along with it.
She thought she was in love.
Such cynicism in one so young.
Yeah, well, I've lived a bit.
I could believe it. Everything about Holly's body language said been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, got bored with the T-shirt, swapped it for a smaller, more revealing T-shirt that said, this is me, want to make something of it.
Ellie exuded glamour and sophistication, but she was surprisingly naive, unworldly even. She saw the best in everyone. Maybe it was her Catholic background. She believed there was a divine plan and everything would work out. You know, Hugo would stop drinking, her career would take off.
Was she a practicing Catholic?
Lapsed, I think. But in my experience, religions tend to outstay their welcome. Charles, I don't mean to sound rude, but I'm going to have to kick you out if I'm going to make the half.
Of course. Thank you for your time. What's the play?
It's a new verse drama about the Eurozone crisis. We're at the Man in the Moon, Stoke Newington, if you're interested.
Yeah, great. If I'll definitely... Just one more thing before I go.
What?
Did Ellie ever mention an affair?
What have you heard?
Not much.
She was too discreet to say anything overt, but she did talk a lot about one man.
Did she happen to mention a name?
Actually, she did.
It wasn't a name I was expecting to hear. After the farrago of my critics' forum, I was hoping to give amateur theatricals a wide berth, but the name Holly gave me led me straight back into the lion's den.
In episode 3 of An Amateur Corpse, Charles was played by Bill Nighy, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Joan by Geraldine McEwen. Hugo was Paul Ritter, Morris, John Glover, the detective inspector, Don Gillet, Holly, Susie Riddell, and the paramedic, Joe Sims. An Amateur Corpse was written by Jeremy Front and based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Aidens. A Charles Paris Mystery, An Amateur Corpse, written by Jeremy Front, based on the novel by Simon Brett. Episode 4.
You're up early.
I'm going to pay Jeff Winter a visit. Coffee?
Thanks. Who's Jeff Winter?
Hugo's architect friend. Well, Ellie's.
Are you commissioning a house?
I can't afford to commission a shed.
Maybe he could do us a granny annex.
Mum will be going home soon. Her leg's much better. She went out last night.
Out where?
I don't know. She got a cab into town.
Was that wise?
She's a grown woman.
She's an elderly woman. What time did she get back?
I heard the front door about 1. Nothing since. Breakfast?
I'm going to have a shower, unless you're in a hurry to get out.
I was in no hurry to ask a man I barely knew if he'd been having an affair with my friend's recently deceased wife. But while Hugo languished in prison on a murder charge, Ellie's old friend had hinted about a possible liaison with a man called Jeff. Francis!
Charles! It's your mum.
Oh, no. Call an ambulance. I'd better go up.
I wouldn't.
Why?
She's in the bath.
Oh, no.
With a man.
What? Alive?
Oh, very much so.
Brandy?
I'm fine.
I'm not.
It was a bit of a shock.
Well, you can say that again. I mean, were they actually...
Oddly enough, I didn't stick around to find out.
No, right, sure.
It may have been perfectly innocent.
Yeah, you popped around at 1 in the morning to clear a blocked pipe and they slipped in.
It does sound like the plot of a porno video.
Can we keep porn videos and my mother out of the same sentence?
Sorry.
Oh, here they come.
See you soon.
I'll call you. Bye.
At least we haven't got to face him.
Yeah.
Well, that was unfortunate.
Unfortunate?
I was sure I'd locked the door.
The lock has got a bit sticky.
Never mind that. What did you think you were doing?
Thinking wasn't really the point. At my age, there's plenty of time to think. I wanted to do for a change.
Oh, please.
My son, the Puritan.
What about personal safety?
I don't think I'll need the morning after pill.
Oh.
It's not safe picking up strange men.
Terry's not strange. He's a painter.
Good, he can decorate the outside of the house in lieu of last night's B&B.
He's an artist. I've known him forever. We hadn't seen each other for years till I bumped into him last night in Soho.
What were you doing in Soho?
I wanted to see how much it had changed.
They'd cleaned it up a lot.
Anyway, I was having a drink in the French house.
What were you doing in the French house?
And who should walk in but Terry? We had a few drinks, went to a lovely little Thai place. Then he insisted on bringing me home. But it was very late, so I said he could stay the night. And, well, one thing led to another. I'm sorry we gave you a shock, Francis.
That's okay.
Is it?
Leave it, Charles.
Excuse me, but when you're staying under someone else's roof...
It's my roof, and don't be a hypocrite.
Obviously it wasn't planned.
Obviously.
And as I've been sleeping on the sofa bed, the sitting room was out of the question.
I suppose that's something.
Not having it off in your sitting room is something, is it?
Having it off? Are we in a 70s sitcom?
Psychically, he's never left the 70s. Deep down, he still thinks of women as chicks.
I beg your pardon.
Look at you, standing there with a face like Oliver Cromwell sucking a lemon.
Joan's right.
Clearly, I'm the only one who finds this at all bothersome, so I'm going to leave you to have your fun.
Oh, chicks.
Hello, Charles. Come in.
Thank you.
Stop it, Cherry. Get down. Come through, Charles.
Thank you. Oh, great studio.
Thanks. Once upon a time, it was going to be a nursery, but, well, things didn't work out. Sit down.
Thank you. Srepney Opera.
Oh, yes. The next production.
Ah.
I'm directing and in it. Bites nails nervously. Rehearsal start in January.
When do you open?
July. Yikes, only 7 months. Jeff breaks out in cold sweat. I'll turn this off.
You lot don't do things by halves. Who are you playing?
Macheath for me sins.
And Saskia?
Pirate Jenny now.
Now?
It was going to be Ellie.
Ah.
Saskia will be sorry she missed you. She's covering London Lingerie Week. It's a tough assignment, but someone's got to do it. I just hope she gets some freebies. Too much information, Jeff.
Yeah.
Actually, I've been meaning to call and apologise for my fellow thesps the other night.
It wasn't your fault.
But I told you not to pull your punches.
So did Saskia, and for that matter, Ellie.
Mm.
I'd got used to Jeff's third-person commentary, but as I mentioned Ellie, he seemed to forget his self-referential tic.
How's Hugo?
Still in prison.
Is he all right?
Not great. On the upside, he can't drink.
I suppose that's something.
Trouble is, it's come too late. You know, the night Ellie died, he was so drunk he can't honestly say whether he killed her or not.
I can't believe he did, can you?
He's a liability, but I don't believe he's a murderer. That's why I'm asking around, seeing if I can come up with anything that might help. Yesterday, I went to see an old drama school friend of Ellie's.
Oh, yes?
She thought Ellie had been seeing another man.
And was his name Jeff?
Oddly enough, it was.
I didn't kill her, you know.
I didn't suggest you did.
You were going to. And I'm afraid the police beat you to it.
They know about you and Ellie.
An affair in a local Amdram group. It wasn't going to take Sherlock to unearth the truth.
What did they say?
I'm still here, so I suppose they believed me.
Ah.
I loved Ellie, by the way, and she loved me.
So it wasn't just a backstage fling?
To begin with. I was flattered that a young woman with her looks even noticed me. Then it became more serious.
Were you going to leave Saskia?
God, no. Absolutely not.
Did she know about you and Ellie?
Saskia and I believe that men and women are perfectly able to love more than one person at a time. I hate euphemisms, but we have an understanding which allows either one of us to go with the flow.
What we used to call an open marriage.
For want of a better expression.
And that works?
It has so far. Providing both parties feel the same way and lay the ground rules from the outset.
Did Ellie know the ground rules?
What we had was fun and exhilarating. We both knew she'd eventually find a younger man, someone looking for commitment.
And you'd have been okay with that?
Absolutely.
And you don't know if Ellie had found someone younger?
I'm sure she had no shortage of offers. But no, I don't know.
Hello, Morris.
Remember that film you were so dismissive about?
The low-budget short.
It transpires the director's fat cat dad was so racked with guilt by his disgraceful bonus, he decided to salve his conscience by investing lashings of lucre in his daughter's cinematic debut.
Saving his soul and assuring himself a place at the top table in the kingdom of heaven.
God is the one number I don't have on my phone. But I did manage to schmooze you a casting, and unless they get who they really want, I reckon the job's yours.
That was so nearly a compliment.
You want work and compliments?
I now feel very slightly guilty.
Why so?
Not telling you about Hugo's voice job.
Oh, tish tush. Water under the bridge. Let's hear no more about it. By the way, have you been paid yet?
No, it's only a small company. And as Hugo's in prison, I feel awkward hassling them for payment.
Ooh, I wouldn't. I'll happily hassle them for you, if you like. I hassle before breakfast. It's meat and drink to me. It's why I was put on this earth.
But the contract was made out directly to me.
Oh, don't worry about that.
Well, now I feel even worse. I must say, it's very decent of you, Morris.
Not at all. I'll get on to them straightway. Shove a rocket up them.
That'd be great.
No probs. Just send me a cheque for 10% and don't forget VAT's at 20 now. Ciao!
Francis? Anyone home? Mother?
Joan's out and I'm in here.
Ah. Any naked artists lurking in the bathroom?
It's been pleasingly dull and uneventful since this morning's little fracas.
Good. I want a drink and I want it now.
Want or need?
Yeah, don't get semantic on my ass. I'm not in the mood.
Did Jeff what's-his-name tell you to mind your own business?
Jeff Winter, and he was surprisingly unapologetic for a man who'd been cuckolding Hugo.
So, Eddie's friend was right.
Holly, yeah, bang on the money, not that it helps Hugo. Jeff was very upfront, reckons he and his wife have an understanding.
Maybe she's not as understanding as her husband thinks.
Ah.
Jealousy's a powerful emotion, unless you buy into this open marriage stuff.
Hmm, tricky.
What is?
Tackle Saskia or go back to Holly, see if there's anything she didn't tell me. What would you do in my shoes?
You're asking me to imagine being an actor with too much time on his hands.
And a friend in prison who may not be guilty.
I'd go back and talk to Holly, see if she held anything back.
Why would she?
Because you're an actor, not a cop.
Good point.
After that, I'd have a chat with the understanding wife, find out just how understanding she really is. Now, I think I will have that drink.
Oh.
Hello?
Holly, it's Charles Paris. Sorry to bother you again.
Listen, Charles, I'm actually in my dressing room.
Is this the verse drama about the Eurozone crisis?
Yeah.
How's it going?
We're not going to break even.
Ironically.
I don't mean to be rude, Charles, but I'm on stage in 5 minutes.
Absolutely, sorry. I realise there's no reason for you to tell me anything about Ellie you don't want to.
What else do you want to know?
Well, that's the thing. I don't really know. Holly? Are you still there?
Okay, if she was still alive, I wouldn't dream of mentioning this, but I suppose it doesn't matter now. Ellie wasn't religious. On the other hand, what is it the Jesuits say? Give me the child...
Give me the child till he's seven and I'll show you the man.
Or in this case, woman. When we were students, Ellie and I used to have these late-nighters. All cheap wine and big thoughts.
That's what students are for. After two bottles of Blue Nun, I used to turn into Wittgenstein.
Oh, I remember one night we got onto abortion, and I was really surprised how pro-life she was. I mean, I was just taking a position, but Ellie was very hot under the collar, and she got really angry when I put it down to her Catholic upbringing. Anyway, recently we had lunch, and I was a bit edgy when the subject came up again, but her attitude was very different. She asked if I'd ever had a termination, but she wasn't judgmental, more inquiring.
You think she was pregnant?
She didn't say, and I didn't ask. I just sensed a change in attitude. Sorry, Charles, I've really got to go.
Yeah. And then I remembered the rosary in the jewellery drawer. But it begged a question, and the keeper of the answer was banged up.
Oh, it's good to see you, Charlie.
How's it going?
Oh, they've discovered I'm a man of letters.
You run a voiceover company.
Yeah, well, by their standards, I'm Marcel Proust. Now, become a bit of a favourite with some of the lads.
Is that a good thing?
Well, rather have them as my friends.
Yeah, I suppose so. Any word on the trial?
Not yet. Well, a solicitor puts a brave face on things. Some days I feel quite optimistic. And then I lie awake thinking about Ellie and what happened and if me dying would bring her back.
Don't talk like that, Hugo. Can I ask you something about Ellie?
Well, you can ask, but my memory is so shot.
How Catholic was she?
Well, she didn't practice. Mind you know what they say, give me the child till he's seven.
It was the second time I'd heard that in the past 24 hours. One more thing, it's rather personal.
Yeah, go on.
Was she pregnant?
Not that I knew. But as we're putting it all out there, let me tell you, I was drinking so much the past few months, our sex life was practically non-existent. So, if you think she was pregnant...
Well, like I say, Hugo, I'm just trying to make sense of things.
Why are you looking at lingerie online?
I'm not.
You very much are.
Well, no, I've arranged to meet Saskia.
And you thought you'd buy her a present to butter her up. Good call. I go for the gold bustier.
She's covering London Lingerie Week.
The lingerie isn't covering very much.
I think that's the idea of lingerie.
You've become quite an expert.
I'm a man. It's genetic. Anyway, I'm looking up the address of a club called Casbah Nights.
What's this?
Charles looking at lingerie.
I used to have something like that in Coral.
I can't do pinks.
Used to drive your father into a frenzy.
Oh, please.
Amazing what a piece of silk can do to a man.
That's it. I'm off.
Don't be a prig. How do you think you got here?
The Northern Line.
You were not conceived on the Northern Line.
Bye-bye, ladies. See you later.
Enjoy the knickers.
The venue was a burlesque club. Ironically, a five-minute walk from Hugo's Soho office. After fighting my way through a sneer of fashionistas, I spotted Saskia, phone in one hand, champagne flute in the other.
Charles! Pity, you've just missed the men's collection.
Men's lingerie?
Welcome to the 21st century, Charles.
Well, most of my underwear's from the 20th, and I'm resolutely M&S.
We'll have to see if we can't ease you into something on trend.
Well, I'm fine, thanks.
Your phone call was very mysterious. What's it all about, I thought? What can the glamorous Charles Paris want with little old me?
Well, you're thinking of another Charles Paris.
You're the only one I've been thinking about.
I was getting the feeling that Jeff and Saskia's marriage was as open as he'd suggested.
I gather you went to see Jeff.
I've been talking to a lot of Ellie and Hugo's friends.
Trying to get Hugo off the hook.
Do you think he killed Ellie?
The man's a mess. I wouldn't put anything past him.
Even murder?
Not premeditated. But we've all seen how volatile he is when he's had a skinful. He tried to punch you. And I gather you know about Ellie and Jeff.
Yes. I was surprised you were okay with it.
The most destructive forces in a marriage are secrets and lies.
Too much honesty can be pretty dangerous.
Only if it's offensive or hurtful. We could check into a hotel now and Jeff would be fine about it.
We were not going to test her proposition. Apart from anything, predatory women are not my type. You think any marriage can work along those lines?
I imagine it's easier if you don't have children. But I'll never know.
Jeff told me his home office was originally going to be a nursery.
Yes, well, things didn't work out. Man proposes, biology disposes.
But what if things had worked out between Jeff and Ellie? Would Saskia have been blithely accepting? Or would she have wanted to see her rival dead?
I'll spare you the gory details of failed IVF. But after years of exploratory plumbing work, we sort of lost impetus.
I'm sorry.
Oh. It's Jeff I feel sorry for. He's too sweet to go on about it, but he was keener than he makes out. And that's why I could never begrudge him his little flings. And he wouldn't begrudge mine. Speaking of which, if we're not going to sleep together, the least you can do is buy me a drink.
Ivory, un'altra bottiglia di San Gimignano, per favore.
Naturalmente, signora.
Mm.
Where did that come from?
You pick things up.
Like artists.
Charles, I told you, Terry's an old friend. If you're going to be like this all evening...
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's extremely generous of Joan to take us out for dinner.
Well, it's my way of saying thank you. My leg's a lot better and I can't rely on you two forever, so I think it's time I went home.
Good for you.
Charles,
Are you sure you're up to it, Joan?
Of course she is.
I'll be fine. Terry's offered to give me a hand.
Oh, that's nice.
And that way, we don't have to worry about being caught in flagrante delicto.
Oh.
Oh, you're so easy to wind up. For a man of the world, you can be remarkably hidebound by bourgeois convention.
Said the Telegraph reading boho.
Got everybody labelled, haven't you?
Let's keep it down, boys and girls.
Men are this, women are that, old people are something else.
That's not true.
When a woman gets her senior citizen's rail card, they don't reissue her maidenhead.
Oh, God.
In suo vino, signora.
No, grazie. Lasci pure la bottiglia. Ci pensiamo noi.
Va bene.
He's rather gorgeous, don't you think, Francis? A touch of Caravaggio about the lips.
Pour the wine, Charles.
Still playing detective, are you?
I'm just trying to help an old friend.
Mm-hmm. And what have you discovered so far?
That Ellie was a lapsed Catholic having an affair with Jeff, whose wife didn't mind because they had an open marriage.
That's balls, for starters.
Did you even find out if Ellie was pregnant?
No, but Saskia confirmed what Jeff had said about them trying for a family.
Oh, there you are. The wife did it. End of case.
What if Ellie wasn't pregnant?
She doesn't need to have been. She might have told Jeff she was to provoke some action. Or she might have thought she was pregnant. Either way, if he told his barren wife that he'd got his mistress up the duff...
I don't think we say barren anymore.
It would be enough to tip the woman over the edge. She sees red and kills the fertile object of his desire.
There's certainly a ring of Greek tragedy about it.
That's not a bad theory.
Thank you.
Except Jeff told me he'd never leave Saskia.
A man says he'd never leave his wife... then leaves his wife. What do you think, Francis?
I've never heard anything so preposterous.
Okay, point taken.
Mm-hmm. Mark my words, the wife did it. If I'm right, the next dinner's on you.
Mm.
In fact, you owe me one after I saved you from getting arrested at Hugo's house.
What?
Where's my whitebait? Are they waiting for the trawler to come in?
The next morning brought a mild hangover, which was quickly cured by the postman.
Yes.
Are you all right?
I am now. The fee's come through from Hugo's Sport and Dry commercial. Look.
Are you sure the decimal point's in the right place?
Looks like the milky bars are on me.
Hello? Hugo from prison.
Hugo.
Yeah, after you left, I started stewing on what you said.
Well, I didn't mean to upset you.
No, you were only trying to help. Anyway, I spoke to my lawyer. The post-mortem said Ellie wasn't pregnant. She had been, but she lost it.
Oh, I don't know what to say. I'm so sorry.
Well, it's not your fault she had an affair. God, if I'd been married to me, I'd have bailed out long ago.
Hugo's words were still in my head as I waited in Jeff and Saskia's porch.
Shut up, Sherry!
Charles! What a lovely surprise. Come through.
Were you just in the area?
Actually, I came to see you.
Did you? I'm flattered, although I think you should know Jeff's here.
She didn't need to tell me. Lottie Lenya's dulcet tones announced that he was in the house.
The show's taking up so much of his time, I'm going to need a diversion. I think you might be it.
Well, I'm not sure I can offer the kind of diversion you're after.
I'll be the judge of that.
You'll have your work cut out rehearsing Pirate Jenny.
I've already learnt my lines. Want to test me?
I hear they were going to be Ellie's lines.
Don't think me rude, Charles, but if you're not here for recreation...
My friend is being charged with the murder of his wife, and I think he's innocent.
Oh, please tell me you don't think I murdered Ellie for a part in a show.
No, I think you murdered her because she was pregnant.
What? Excuse me a minute. Jeff!
Hello?
Down here! Now!
What's the matter? Oh. Charles?
Sass, what's wrong?
Was Ellie pregnant?
You bastard.
He's not the bastard, you bastard!
Sticking your snout in.
Why didn't you tell me?
I didn't want to upset you.
Well, that worked.
I was scared you'd think I was going to leave you.
While a marriage fractured before my eyes, my brain scampered round its wheel, trying to catch up.
You mean you weren't going to leave me?
Never. You know that, Sass.
Don't sass me.
She wanted me to, but I said it wasn't going to happen. I even tried to get her to have an abortion.
You did what?
after everything we went through.
But it wasn't us. It was her. She was going to ruin everything. Anyway, she refused.
Give me the child till she's seven.
What?
Sorry.
She was sick of Hugo. She wanted to start over with me and her baby. When I said no, she threatened me. Said if I didn't tell you, she would. I kept saying I'd never leave you for her or her baby.
What do you mean, her baby? It wasn't an immaculate conception.
I didn't mean to hurt her, but she could be a piece of work. Everyone saw the sweet-natured angel, but she had this way of pushing me.
What are you saying?
It was an accident.
Oh, no.
The night I went over, she was in a foul mood with Hugo. He was unconscious, smashed out of his mind. She was like a banshee, all tears and rage, kept yelling at me, "I hope you're happy now." I didn't know what was happening. She went out to get some logs for the fire. I followed, but every time I tried to speak, she just bit my head off, shouting, screaming, swearing.
I don't believe what I'm hearing.
I didn't mean to. I just lost it, grabbed her. She fell, banged her head.
Oh, my God.
You could have called an ambulance.
Jeff?
But then it wouldn't have been over, would it? You saw a way out, so you pushed her under the pool cover and left Hugo to take the blame.
I'm so sorry.
Keep away from me, you monster!
The irony is, she wasn't pregnant.
What?
She had been, but she'd lost the baby.
Why didn't she tell me?
Was it your idea to go over that night?
No. She phoned me. She had to talk to me right then, right that bloody minute. She was going to tell me. What have I done? What have I done?
If anything good came of Ellie's death, it was Hugo's decision to get himself clean. So he checked out of prison and straight into rehab. Joan had been wrong about Saskia, but I still owed her a dinner for saving my skin.
Call yourself a habitué of Soho? I can't believe you've never eaten here. When I was modelling, we used to come here all the time.
Modelling what?
Me. St. Martin's School of Art was round the corner.
You were a life model?
Before you came along and everything headed south.
Does that mean that there are paintings of you?
There must be hundreds. My one regret is that I never persuaded Francis to paint me.
Francis doesn't paint.
Bacon.
You knew Francis Bacon?
Mm. You couldn't drink at the Colony Room and not know him.
Whoa, hang on. Are you the real Joan Paris, or is there a giant pod in a basement somewhere?
Is your world rocking, Charles? Did you think you'd invented sex, drugs and rebellion? I infuriated my parents long before you tried to infuriate me and your father.
But you and Dad and me growing up in the suburbs, it was straight out of Enid Blyton.
She used to play nude tennis.
Just William, then. And please, don't tell me you and Dad used to play nude tennis.
Your father was a thoroughly respectable man. That's probably why we attracted each other. I was getting bored with poets, so a clean-shaven man with a well-cut suit and a conventional job was strangely exotic.
This is messing with my head.
I know, dear. It's so annoying to have one's prejudices unconfirmed.
You wore floral dresses and hats and long gloves.
By the time you arrived, I decided to embrace bourgeois life. What did Oscar say? All women become like their mothers. That is their tragedy.
No man does. That is his.
Mm. He was a clever boy. But he got that one wrong, didn't he?
I suppose he did.
A few days later, I helped move Joan back into her own house. And a few days after that, Terry the painter moved in with her. Life with Francis was back to normal. Well, normal for us. And with Christmas fast approaching, I was finally getting into the festive spirit.
One for you.
Ah.
And this big one's addressed to both of us.
Right. Ah. At last, Morris has sent me the script for the short film.
I did what all actors do. Flicked through to see how many pages featured my character.
Blimey, it's in 3D.
There's a note with a big one. Oh. Dear Francis and Charles, thank you so much for putting me up and putting up with me.
Here's something to remind you of your loving mother. From Joan and Terry. Joint presents.
Bloody Morris.
What?
I've got a nude scene.
What a waste of 3D.
Oh, ha bloody ha.
Come on, help me open this.
A painting.
Must be one of Terry's. We'll have to find somewhere to hang it. Ooh!
What? Come on, turn it round. Oh. Oh!
I'm thinking maybe not in the dining room. Oh, look, you've both got the same mould.
Oh. On the other hand, there is a touch of Stanley Spencer about this. I wonder if he'd do us in a double portrait. We could do prints and send them out at Christmas.
I'm not getting naked for no one.
You could wear Christmas stockings.
I think Santa's little helper is getting carried away.
Come upstairs and I'll put on my elf costume. We can practice poses.
I've got a much better idea.
Really?
Yeah. 35 cards waiting for your signature.
So fill your hearts with the Christmas cheer, 'cause Santa Claus comes back.
In episode 4 of An Amateur Corpse, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Joan by Geraldine McEwen. Jeff was Patrick Brennan, Hugo, Paul Ritter, Morris, John Glover, Holly, Susie Riddell, and Saskia, Christine Absalom. An Amateur Corpse was written by Jeremy Front and based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Sally Avens.